forward. Anne Lister is unique and fascinating. She is known primarily as a diarist and as a great lesbian lover who recorded her adventures with other women in a secret code. But there are a myriad of other things to know about this extraordinary woman who never fails to ignite the imagination. Anne was unusually intelligent and remarkably physically fit. She had an enviable passion for life. What she didn't cram into her tragically short 49 years probably wasn't worth doing. And not only did she live a remarkable life, she recorded it in obsessive detail every day from her late teens to the last month before her death, from getting up to going to bed. It was the diary of a perfectionist with an eye for detail, of a woman with a brilliant mind who was fascinated by the world and everything in it. In the coded parts, it is often the stream of consciousness outpourings of a passionate human being who had more mental and physical energy than she knew what to do with. Anne read as profusely as she wrote, keeping herself well informed in the latest thinking, in a bewildering array of subjects. She was a true polymath, someone who could absorb complex information, process it quickly, and use it effectively. She was a player, both in her professional life running her estate and in her private life as a lover of women. Her mental and physical prowess and her love of life are inspiring. But there is another side to Anne Lister. She was an authoritarian landowner who believed firmly in a hierarchical social order. Her estate was modest in size, she was never well off, but it was rich in coal, and she owned mines in which people were employed to work cruelly long hours, enduring inhumane and humiliating conditions. As Saran astutely observed when we started rehearsing Gentleman Jack, she's a bit Marmite, this one. One of the many contradictions about Anne Lister is that she appears so far ahead of her time in having such an admirably healthy attitude towards her homosexuality, whilst being something of a dinosaur, even in her own time, in regarding those from the deprived classes as insensate commodities. Anne Lister was a survivor, in a world that could easily have had no place for her, a world that would have rendered her invisible if she'd had less about her. She was smart enough and confident enough to construct a self-identity that would allow her to live her life just as boldly, ambitiously and freely as she chose. She refused to be ignored or made invisible simply because she was born with a penchant for members of her own sex, as well as a robust physical health. It's clear between the lines of the journal that she enjoyed robust mental health too. And it was perhaps this psychological strength that allowed her, when it was convenient, to turn a blind eye to the hardship of others. Of course, these contradictions and complexities are the things that make Anne Lister a gift to a dramatist. As Eliza Priestley points out in the first episode of Gentleman Jack, whether we like Anne Lister or not, she's very entertaining. Thanks to Arthur Macrae's generous legacy to the people of Halifax, after John Lister's death in 1933, Shibden Hall has been part of my life ever since I can remember. As a child, I came here all the time with my dad, Harry Wainwright, a keen amateur historian. He taught me how to row on the lake, and now and again we went up to the hall and the folk museum. I loved Shibden then, and I love it still. Something about it entered my soul. That it was once owned by the remarkable Anne Lister, odd as it seems to me now, is an entire coincidence. In the early 70s, no one mentioned Anne Lister. I can't remember how I became aware of her, but as a teenager, I started to pick up on the fact that an extraordinary woman had once owned Shibden. But there was something about her that people didn't like to discuss. Times have changed, and we now live in a world where we can celebrate a woman who, almost 200 years ago, chose to marry another woman. We should also celebrate Anne's partner, Anne Walker, a shy woman who had the courage to make a conspicuous commitment to the woman she was so dazzled by. I met Anne Schomer 15 years ago, through an initiative to try and transcribe the Anne Lister diaries, and we became friends. When Gentleman Jack was greenlit by the BBC and HBO, I invited her on board as my advisor, and she has been a wonderful collaborator. I would like to take this opportunity to thank her, not just for her work, but for her support too. We've climbed our own little Vigna Mali together and got down the other side, and there were a couple of times when I didn't think I'd make it, but she kept me going. The diaries are